This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
All right, Earl Thomas's meeting with the Houston Texans has been put on hold. I had a theory that I thought he used the Texans potentially to play with the team he's been begging to play for a while, the Dallas Cowboys, a team who's in a crappy division and really a better situation overall. Jerry Jones did an interview this morning on our sister station, 105.3 The Fam, and he was asked about Earl Thomas. What did Jerry Jones say when asked about Earl?
Yes, he said, quote, "I am aware that Thomas is out there, number one. Okay. And number two, I also am interested at this juncture of improving this team right now."
That was like an hour before.
At the most.
Like an hour before they canceled the meeting?
Yeah, at the most.
Earl said, hold on.
Hey, I'm getting a call. By the way.
You know their secondary is the biggest problem, too, the safeties.
Yes. This would not be unprecedented for Earl Thomas. Keep in mind,
He was going to be a chief.
He agreed to a contract with the Chiefs. He was getting on an airplane to go to Kansas City. And then somehow his agent got with the Ravens. The Ravens made an offer, and he literally told the Chiefs, sorry, I lied. I'm not going to agree with that. I'm going to the Ravens. I mean, could he be using the same playbook? You know what? I think I'm going to go visit the Texans. They're desperate. They're compromising all their values that they preach about. I'm going to go visit with the Texans and tell Adam Schefter that, a deal is imminent. And then Jerry Jones gets wind of it, and what happens? He gets on the radio and says, oh, yeah, I'm interested.
Stuff like this happens, bro.
And then the meeting's canceled.
And then the meeting's
713-572-4610. Let's go to Haiku Julio.
An ode to Bill O'Brien. He does not care if you are no good or no longer great. What matters most to O'Brien is, are you available for practice relative to being a good teammate? Building his team with players that are strong, tough, and dependable, therefore unproductive scrubs like Clowney and Hopkins, became expendable. He perplexes the opposition with an offensive scheme as complex as a riddle, confounding the defense with an unexpected first down run up the middle. When he looks in the mirror, he sees a failure and a sucker, screaming at the top of his lungs, "You suck too, mother bleeper!" God. If we continue down the road to ruin, the fans will revolt. Cal McNair must grow a pair and fire that Travolta.
Oh,
wow.
That's his best work.
Fire right there.
Yeah.
From Haiku Julio.
Yeah, that's his
hard top.
I mean, it's never a haiku, but it's still really good.
Jacksonville cut Timmy Jernigan. Remember when Timmy Jernigan was going to be a Texan and that fell through? Jacksonville has cut him now. So,
it's got to be a physical thing.
Okay.
He was going to be the answer here.
Weird. Deontay Foreman, friend of the show, been in the studio a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
He signs with the Titans practice squad. My question is...
I know what you're going to say.
My question is... You know Deontay's had a little knucklehead in him before.
Mm-hmm.
Did Deontay give the Titans the COVID?
Could be.
Did Deontay bring the COVID?
Let's. If Derrick Henry has it.
If the staffers got it, maybe it was during the workouts.
There were at least three players, right? If Derrick Henry is one of them, you got to go to the NFL and say, nah, man.
Nah. You have to forfeit.
No, you don't.
If the Titans can't field a team, you have to
well,
forfeit.
Well, they can field a team.
If it's your fault that you got the COVID, you've
got
to forfeit.
How do we know it was their fault?
It doesn't matter. They're the ones with the tests.
Mm-hmm.
You snooze, you lose, okay?
Back on this.
When Michael Jordan had the flu, did they just say, hey, let him get well? No. Was it his fault that he got the flu? Probably not, okay? You got the COVID. If you can't field the team, forfeit, Titans. Your first loss of the year.
No, but seriously.
I'm being serious.
I know you are.
Yeah,
but
I'm being serious.
But I'm like being legitimately serious here. If it's like, and we, by the way, you know, we don't know this. We're just having a conversation. If it's someone like Derrick Henry, you got to tell the NFL.
No, no. You know what I'm going to say? If they try to pull that?
Sorry, not sorry.
No. I'm going to say, look at Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
He didn't have his quarterback, his running back, his receiver, his tight end, three guys on his defensive line, his two best players in the secondary, and he won a football game. Get your ass out there, Vrabel and coach. That's what I'm going to say to him.
Oh, my goodness.
The COVID forfeit.
Oh, you could start Foreman. How crazy would that be? Jonte, Derek gets the COVID, and they bring up
next man up.
Jonte Foreman. He rushed for 220.
What if Clowney's the one who got it?
That's probably on the table, too.
You know it wasn't J. Joe.
Oh, God, no. JJ doesn't even leave the house hardly.
Nah.
You know, he's just that workout freak.
Yeah, did you see his abs lately?
He's the workout freak,
a little
man.
Thirsty.
He looked like mine.
Well, he gave up sodas.
Yeah.
He gave up sodas and for water.
Mm-hmm. Water's good. Drink a lot of water.
Breaking news. Water good for you. Courtesy of John Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
OJ Simpson.
Oh, here we go.
The Seahawks might be short a receiver very soon.
Why is that?
He might die.
What?
He might die.
Is OJ mad at a receiver?
He might die.
Oh, no.
Here's OJ Simpson summing up week three in the NFL. And I got to tell you, Russell Wilson, you're having a good season. You might have one less receiver to throw to.
Hey, Twitter world. It's me, yours truly. Well, a few takes from yesterday. First, Buffalo. Don't do that to me, man. I'm an older guy now. You know, you had my heart pumping there yesterday. You're supposed to be a defensive team. Can't let guys come back on you like that. Josh Allen, you are a certified stud, buddy. Russell Wilson, you are at this stage easily my MVP. But as I say that, I got to say to DK Metcalf, who is one of the studs on my fantasy team. I drafted him. I knew he'd be good. He's actually better than I thought. But, buddy, you got to run it into the end zone. That cost me, the way we score with bonuses for over 50-yard touchdowns, that cost me about 14 points.
Uh-oh. DK's in trouble.
Uh-oh.
DK's in trouble.
They don't have to go to Vegas, do they? Figgy, we got to find this out. Do the Seahawks have to go to Vegas? Because that's where OJ lives.
Yeah.
DK cannot make that trip. DK cannot make, because I don't think OJ can leave Las Vegas. But if the Seahawks have to go to Las Vegas, DK, you cannot make that trip.
Well, let me ask you this. In our league that I'm in, we had a tie.
Oh, you're going to do this?
The two highest scoring teams in the league this week tied at 144.5.
Okay.
But they gave one team the win because of the bench point.
I don't like tiebreakers. I think a tie is a
That's
tie.
That's dumb.
I think a tie is a tie.
They played them in the preseason. They will not be going to Las Vegas.
Okay.
They'll be going to Arizona. Can he bust through the state line?
I don't know. Okay. All right. You're okay. You're okay, DK. You don't have to go to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's all right. Praying for you, man. Michael Pittman, the rookie wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. What is compartment leg syndrome? He had that in his calf. He had a surgery. I guess he's likely to be back week 8. So it's easy for me to say that it's not a major surgery, but it's not like a surgery that's going to end his season. Just a little calf surgery for him.
Never even heard of that. I thought I heard them all. Compartment leg syndrome?
Mm-hmm.
You got me.
Pat Mahomes' mom yesterday during the broadcast.
I like this.
She was upset.
I love this.
She was very upset. I love her. But
got a
I used to hoop with her ex-husband.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Shout out to PJ. He's already remarried. I think they've moved on.
Yeah.
They have a kid together. Mahomes' little daughter. But Mahomes' mom said this during the game. If this announcer doesn't stop calling my son Pat, I may scream, LOL, hashtag help, at ESPN NFL, at ESPN. ESPN apologized. He was never called Pat Mahomes again. He was Patrick for the rest of the game from Lewis Riddick, Brian Griese, and Steve Levy.
I just love that. I mean, you know, you are what your mom calls you. You know, that's it. And, like,
she said her first husband is Pat. Patrick right. is Patrick.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad she did that. And they're not, nobody's going to call him Pat anymore. I've called him Pat and Patrick. Just, you know, conversationally. I'm going to have to start calling him Patrick. Don't want to get her mad.
I'm going to call him the best damn player in the NFL.
Boy, they ran him. They ran them. If not for your boy Duvernay, it would have gotten a lot uglier.
Did you see what Frank Clark tweeted after the game?
Yes, I did.
We want to talk about nasty.
He gives none.
The defensive end for the Chiefs broke in they door, stole they bleep.
Yep. Broke in they door,
stole
they bleep.
Stole all their bleep.
I mean, they did.
Are the Chiefs going 16-0? I'm not trying to do this.
Let me lie.
I told you that this team had such an advantage with the COVID. Like, they got to relax. They didn't have to do the usual
stuff. And they're hungry.
Usually when you win a Super Bowl, there's a lot of obligations you have to go through. You have to do appearances. You have to do all these interviews.
It's
you have to
gone.
Leave the house. You have to do it. They did not have to do that. So when you compare the Chiefs to any other Super Bowl winning team, I don't think it's right, because I actually think the COVID actually eliminates the distractions that the Chiefs would have had.
This is why I brought this. I went specifically to this number with John McClain, and I was actually a little surprised that he agreed with it. The Chiefs, this was our leg hiking segment. The Chiefs will win no fewer than 17 games this year. Now think about it.
Count the playoffs, three.
Let's say if they win the division, they get a bye. So that means they have to win the Super Bowl.
No, they have to win the conference.
They have to. No, because let's say
only
they go
one
four,
team gets a bye now.
No, I'm saying let's say they go 14-2.
Okay.
Because it's impossible. It's not impossible. Very unlikely to go 16-0.
Right.
So let's say they go 14-2. So that means they have to win the Super Bowl to get to 17.
Yes.
Because they'll get a bye.
Yes.
Then divisional.
Yeah.
Then conference.
Yeah.
So if they win 15, if they go 15-1, then yeah, they can win the conference championship. Do you think they'll win no fewer? You do a leg hike.
I think 13 is the fewest games they win in the regular season.
Yeah.
13.
I think they were 14-2.
Yeah. I mean, they got the Patriots. They got the Raiders. They're going to Buffalo, to Denver, Jets. I mean,
they face great teams.
They're superior.
But they're better.
They're superior.
Yeah.
Like, there's really not much you can do to it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty damn fun to watch, honestly. Pretty damn fun to watch. During the game, by the way, they were doing like a comparison of Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. And Mahomes was, I think, the Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar Jackson was the Lamborghini or something like that. What is Deshaun Watson right now?
Tesla, because he looks good, but he's quiet.
Okay.
Right?
That was quick. OG John Lopez.
I'm here for you, man.
Figgy Fig with you. Sports Radio 610. Playoff baseball is upon us. Earl Thomas might not be. 713-572-4610. Lunchtime continues next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
They're not happy in Minnesota. Texans facing an 0-3 team Sunday. They're not happy. If you don't believe me, let's just hear from their coach, Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer met with the media types. It started out with one of those, you know, like that wise-ass, know-it-all media type that, like,
mm-hmm.
tries to ask a question just to show that he knows something or, like, give his opinion.
Right, right.
That's how he tried to start it with Mike Zimmer. And Mike Zimmer talked about the return of Danielle Hunter potentially to that Vikings front seven, as well as Jordan Jefferson, the rookie out of LSU, and his 9 catches for 175 or whatever it was on Sunday. But it started out with the media type getting put in check.
most points the Vikings in the history have ever given up.
If you have a question, just ask it. You don't have to give me your opinion on anything.
Has it been for you, a guy who's developed so many good defenses with the tough defensive start this season?
Obviously, it's frustrating. We've got some young guys that are learning. We're going through some growing pains, and they'll continue to get better.
Danielle Hunter's eligible now to come off the injured reserve. When do you anticipate he potentially could come back?
I don't know. Whenever the doctors tell me he can.
Mike, after looking at what Justin Jefferson did yesterday, what was kind of your takeaway for what worked so well for him?
Well, I just think he got more opportunities this ball game, and I think he's just getting more comfortable off with the offense, like a lot of these young guys.
How much would a win mean right now for this team?
You know, we work our butts off to do that, and probably should have won the game yesterday and didn't win it. You know, we work hard, and we don't have anything to show for it right now. So, you know, it's disappointing, it's frustrating, it's all those things that you want to say. You know, we got to keep grinding and get a win here this next week.
It's first of all, a lot of people can learn from that very wordy bad question. A lot of people do that. Coach, you've been known to blah, 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 blah. And while that may be true, something else is going on.
I appreciate
too.
You staring at me right now while you're saying that.
And
I'm sensing an undertone here.
No. You're working on it. You're working on it.
Sometimes you do want to kind of let him know where you're coming from.
Sometimes
though.
You have to.
Like,
some, you have
sometimes
to give
you have
some
to
context.
Let him know. You have to give some context so that it doesn't feel like you're coming out left.
I do that,
I'm
the biggest advocate of short is more. Short is better. Short questions is what you got to do. But yeah, sometimes you have to give context. We do have to mention the Vikings Texans game is a little bit of a question mark right now. Little bit, not a lot. Little bit of a question mark. And we really haven't heard any more updates other than for the full background, Titans played the Vikings. They play the Steelers this week. At least three Titans players and five other people on staff, whether it's coaching or otherwise, have tested positive and are going to be tested some more. And the Titans basically have been shut down until Saturday as of now.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not practice at all and still play a game. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's the Titans. They're going to play the Steelers. Maybe. The Vikings obviously were exposed to those players on the field. Vikings are the Texans' opponent this week.
But they have not had any tests. They did put out a statement. They had to shut down the facility today as a caution. Although I think they were off anyway, so I think this was their off day. And they put out a statement actually from their own Twitter account that. They haven't had any other positive tests since the game against
Correct.
The Titans. That's what they're saying.
But they're kind of in wait and see mode. So I guess we are too. I mean, as far as we were told, the Texans are going quote business as usual until they hear otherwise. Now, Jason LaConfora reported earlier that both the Vikings and the Texans have been notified that their game may be postponed depending on what happens in the next day or two. So this is where we are right now. So it's the environment in which we live.
What does he mean by we may be on? Like isn't there always a chance that they may be canceled?
Yeah, but this,
I take Leck and Fora with a grain of salt sometimes.
Well, sure, but this is a little more direct because the Vikings play the Titans.
Man, I'll tell you though, if I thought the loss on Sunday potentially for Bill O'Brien with a Gary Kubiak led offense would be potentially the beginning of the end just because of all the eggs that he's put in the basket. Like the moves that he's made have been win now moves.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what he's been doing. It's not happening. The roster's bad.
Yeah.
Like from a talent perspective, for what it was as recent as 2018, the roster's not as good. It's not as talented. I don't even think it's – I think the Brock Osweiler 2016 team, you could say the roster from top to bottom actually had more talent. Just the defense was a lot better. Whitney was a much better player than – I think this is the least talented roster top to bottom they've had in 5 years, and it's Bill O'Brien's fault. if you're telling me that the Vikings get like a shortened practice week or something like that, and they're still able to come here and beat you and hand you your fourth loss, are you really telling me that there's any excuse for that? Like, because right now you can say, you could say right now with the Texans that you're facing another 0-3 squad. You're a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
But you have the advantage of, one, being at home. And two, you have the advantage of even this COVID, even if it's nothing, just the fact that
they're not
even
practicing.
They're having to deal with it. Yeah. Like they're even having to, that it's even having to be like a thing is
on
a
their
huge
minds.
Advantage for the Texans.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're catching a break here if you're the Texans. You can't lose this game on Sunday. I don't want to throw out the must win because it gets you all hot and bothered and you get pissed off about it for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't get pissed off.
But for some reason, like I do feel like if Bill O'Brien loses this game, I truly think that the talks, because they've already changed. They've already changed from John McClain.
Yeah.
It was 2 years for a long time.
Today, yeah.
It was 2 years for a long time, and now all of a sudden the possibility is being entertained.
Yeah.
If they lose this game on Sunday to the Vikings, I think that the possibility of Bill O'Brien being fired increases significantly.
You know, his odds went way down as the first head coach in the NFL fired. Now, Adam Gase is going to be the first coach. By the way, they're playing Brett Rippon as the quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
Is that
on
Mark?
Thursday.
That's Mark's son, right?
Yeah.
From Boise?
Yeah. If the Jets lose on Thursday night to Brett Rippon, he's going to get fired. He'll be the first. So the second, his odds went down significantly. He's down to 9-1, Bill O'Brien. And John McClain, he did a pretty much an about face. I mean, for the last several months, we would, you know, bring this topic up. You know, why does he have 2 years of security? Well, they just love him. It's going to take a lot for him to get fired. You know, he won't get fired after 1 year. He's here for 2 years, like it or not. I mean, John literally said, like it or not. The last 2 weeks, yeah. I mean, he might
it's
get
changed.
Fired. He might get fired if he has a really bad start. Yeah.
It has. Can I interest you in some stats?
Yes, sir.
Because we know the Vikings are 0-3. We know the Texans' defense is thin. Dalvin Cook, this is according to Next Gen Stats. Dalvin Cook gained 105 rushing yards over expected in week 3, the second most by any running back in a game over the last two seasons. He outgained expectations on 13 to 21 rushing yards. So in other words, I guess they have these stats where whether it's yards after contact or breaking tackles, Dalvin Cook did it at an elite level in regards to last year's. This is one of the five best running backs in the NFL you're facing. Okay, so you got to realize that if you're the Texans defense. You haven't been able to stop the run.
Yeah.
This dude is a badass, Dalvin Cook. Now, receiver. They traded Stephon Diggs to the Buffalo Bills. They got more in return for Stephon Diggs than the Texans did DeAndre Hopkins, and they got a first-round pick. And with that first-round pick, they selected a rookie. And I guess they don't think that rookies don't know anything because this rookie played this week, past week.
The rookies just, they don't know anything.
His name's Justin Jefferson. You might remember him for his work at LSU with Joe Burrow. Last game, Justin Jefferson. Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
175 yards and a touchdown on 7 receptions in week 3. He is the highest rated wide receiver from week 3, according to Pro Football Focus. So there's some talent. There's some talent on the offensive side of the rock for the Minnesota Vikings, and one of them happens to be.
And he's coming along. He's improved every week.
He is a direct benefit of them trading their receiver. Have you seen David Johnson? Have you seen Ross Blacklock, who DeAndre Hopkins was traded for?
Yes.
David Johnson from the Houston Texans. Here with my good friend Toro.
Haven't really seen Ross Blacklock. And I, as far as like Dalvin Cook. The Texans, according to Football Outsiders, are the 27th best tackling team in the NFL. You miss tackles against Dalvin Cook? That's a wrap. I mean, you can't miss tackles against Dalvin Cook. Justin Jefferson, yes, you know he's a huge, huge player that, like literally and figuratively, but you start missing tackles, you're in trouble.
All right, so Dalvin Cook had 177 rushing yards the last game.
Yeah.
That's more than every Texans running back combined. The Texans running backs this year have 149 yards rushing. Dalvin Cook had 177. on Sunday.
One day.
Jordan Jefferson had 175 yards receiving on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Only one Texans receiver, Randall Cobb, has more than that in three games. He has 177. Will Fuller has 166. Brandon Cooks has 138. Think about that for a damn second. Think about that for a damn second.
That's crazy.
Please think about that for a damn second.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
Well, now there's this. The Minnesota Vikings, Texans' opponent this week, have been told to plan for a 48-hour closure of their facility, which directly cuts 48 hours from now, unless they're including it now, is the two most important days of practice in any for any NFL team on that plays on a Sunday are Wednesday and Thursday. So the Minnesota Vikings, it's very likely at this point, according to Pro Football Talk, they will not have any padded practices coming in, unless they practice in pads on Friday, coming into the game on Sunday.
It's a hell of a break for the Texans, honestly. I mean, so they're gonna be able to practice Thursday and Friday, it looks like, and they're gonna have those two practice days.
So it does include today.
And they're gonna have to include. So they can reopen Thursday and have a couple of days. So Texans getting some breaks with the Vikes. Hell, maybe.
Well, you're right, though.
Yeah.
That's how you started this segment.
Yeah.
If they lose to the Vikings.
You lose to a team that wasn't allowed to practice. An 0-3 team, they ain't even allowed to practice.
We ain't here talking about practice.
You're fired.
It might be.
You're fired.
It might be.
No, you're really fired.
0-3 and didn't practice.
They didn't practice.
Good Lord.
Oh, my gosh. Earl Thomas, yes or no next?
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
You don't need practice to beat the Texans. You guys are foolish. That's what we're getting on the text line right now. Is it that bad? Is it that bad, Houston, to where an 0-3 Minnesota Vikings team's coming to town with Kirk, I almost said the F word, effing Cousins as a quarterback? They traded Stephon Diggs. We don't know if they're going to have a Danielle Hunter. They're not going to be able to practice the next 48 hours because they have to shut down their facility because the Titans had the COVID. And you're telling me that the Texans are still going to lose to that team. Is it that damn bad? 713-572-4610. I don't know the answer to the question, honestly. I know the answer to two questions.
You sounded like you were bothered by
it. I know the answer to two questions. I'm bothered by the whole situation. I'm bothered that question number one was answered, that the Texans aren't an elite team in the AFC. I'm bothered by that. I'm bothered that the Texans can't beat a second-tier team in the AFC, but I don't know. It's TBD. Is it that bad? Are you going to lose to an 0-3 team that can't even freaking practice?
I had the Texans beating the Vikings before the season began. I think I said 2-5 is worst case scenario, and they're definitely on track for worst case scenario. So I'm still going to say they're going to beat the Vikings no matter what. The Vikings can't win this game with no practice, or at least the most one day of practice. Can they? Now you got me doubting it.
I'll tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about desperate. These are the games, like, I almost feel like these are the games that players want to win the most, because if you're a Vikings player, like, 0-3 speaks for itself. Most 0-3 teams are desperate. So the Texans don't have that advantage because both teams are 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the games you want to win the most as a player, I believe, because you're setting a precedent where maybe coach is going to give you more off days or something like that. Like, if you win without practicing for 48 days – like, maybe coach might be like, you know what? Hey, guys, let's have a little white. A little
No. They're not going to change this. So I thought you meant because you get the win. It's like, hey, we finally got off the schneid. And,
no. Everybody wants that. I'm just saying, if I'm a Vikings player, I want to win this one even more because I don't want to have to practice all the time.
Then you think it'll be precedent setting.
Yeah, dude. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, this is, I know that you look at the Vikings and you say, man, they suck. This isn't a good team. We've played the Chiefs. We've played the Ravens. We've played the Steelers. Those are three really good teams. This ain't that. I agree with you, but I will say if Danielle Hunter's coming back along with Ngakoue, who got there late, that's 19 and a half sacks added to their defense.
Yeah.
And Jordan Jefferson is kind of finding his way as a rookie wide receiver. He had two less yards than the Texans' leading receiver has in three games, Randall Cobb. He had 175 on Sunday. And that running back is going to be the best running back you face this year. And you haven't been able to stop the
Probably.
Run. So we
Derrick
can,
Henry.
Well, I'm saying it's four games into the season.
Oh, yeah. He has been the best. He will have been the best.
Yeah, he's the other teams are better, but the Texans have struggled to stop the run, and this is going to be the best running back they're going to face, Dalvin Cook, by far.
Right. That's a great point because, you know, we keep talking about how the secondary needs help and it's been so bad. Well, people have been running on this team in the second halves of games, right? When the defense wears down a little bit, when depth and snap counts start catching up to you, that's when teams have consistently run on the Texans. Early on, they haven't. Well, early on, Dalvin Cook just might. I mean, he I get Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but that was his first game ever, you know, in the NFL anyway. And this is where Bill O'Brien has done the defense the biggest disservice. Bill O'Brien, the general manager with Jack Easterby, because they're doing all they can for as long as they can, but they don't have the depth. They don't have the top end talent up front outside of J.J. Watt, and that's where it catches up to you. You get the snap counts, right? People are, well, how does depth matter? Well, because you're just
worn out.
Five fewer snaps for some of those guys. If you had depth, better depth, would make a difference in the fourth quarter.
There's a lot of injuries, you know. Injuries happen and over injuries. The course of a season. A lot of times you just get stripped. Some guys can have the next man up, but when you don't have depth, you ain't got it. Is it this bad? 713-572-4610. Let's go to Keith. Keith, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm sorry. Basically, y'all already answered the question with everything that I was going to say, but I hate to answer a question with a question, but who is our coach and who is our GM? Mm. So, yeah, we can lose. We can lose. Like you said, we don't have anybody to stop the run. That was Clowney. Let him go. We don't have an offense that can generate points. Who is that? That was Hopkins. Yeah, we can lose with Bill O'Brien. Easily.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I'm not saying my confidence level is high. It's not like I'm going, you know, last week, you know, we were picking games and we got to the Colts and the Jets, and I'm like, bet the house. Ain't no way the Colts are going to lose to this Jets team.
You're so smart, John.
Well, no.
How
I'm
did
just
you
saying.
Know that?
I'm not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was some things, it's obvious. I'm not exactly confident, like super confident. I just think the Texans are going to win. But yeah, it's all on the table right now.
It's frustrating for me. And I know, guys, I know. I don't like talking about this as much as you do, as much as you think. I just really – it's frustrating for me to watch this team outside of a whole new offensive philosophy, which I do think they need. It's crazy to imagine how much Jadeveon Clowney could help this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just for what they need, like, and you can talk about the sacks and stuff, but Jadeveon Clowney gets to the quarterback better than anyone else they got. On this roster right now, not named J.J. Watt. He stops the run. They've been struggling to stop the run, and it's kind of a problem when it doesn't happen. You kind of realize how important that is. And Kareem Jackson, letting him go without even hitting him up. The Honey Badger, it's one thing, because I don't think the Honey Badger was as good here as he is Kansas City. I think they use him perfect. I think it's a perfect fit. But they're playing Eric Murray at nickel corner, bro.
Yeah.
They're playing Eric Murray at nickel corner, bro.
They're bad in the secondary.
And that's why we're talking about Earl Thomas.
That's why they've compromised their, you know, their virtue, so to speak.
Which I'm okay with, actually.
Yeah, on the field, I'm okay with it. It's Bill O'Brien is feeling the heat. For the first time ever, you can say that. You could have always speculated. You could always wonder, but he puts on that gruff persona and we got to block out the noise, and there's always going to be noise, and we just have to worry about the next game. That's always good to say, but in practice, it's harder to do. Well, it's really hard for him because this is the first sign where you can honestly say B.O.B. is feeling the heat. And even beyond that, there is heat. We weren't even sure, you know, if Cal was even noticing all this stuff. You know, how can he not? How can he put up with all this? Well, I think we're starting that this Earl Thomas thing is a real indicator.
John, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, John, quick question. I mean, you watch a lot of Texas football like I do. As far as defensively, the question is that why Whitney Merciless can't get off of blocks? Why McKinney is like a battering ram because he don't make no tackles. A lot of times if you see, I mean, when a back come to the hole, they always saying, well, he got caught up in the wash. You know, and then, I mean, the other linebacker, 41, I love him, but he a lot of arm tackling. So, I mean, we ain't going to talk about holding the edge. So that's my question. Why are the linebackers, I mean, you can't say, well, they didn't get paid. All of them got a big bonus. All of them got paid. And the performers don't match up with what they do. So let me hear what you got to say about it.
You know, sometimes, though, Landry, and appreciate the call, Whitney Merciless is just not the player he was.
No, he's not.
It's not for lack of.
It's not any knock on him.
Like, yeah, yeah.
He was he was one of the best bargain contracts in the NFL for a while, and now he's one of the worst.
I wish I could tell you, they're mishandling Whitney Merciless. Yeah. They're putting him in bad spots.
He's doing what he can. He just doesn't have
Anthony
it.
Weaver's doing a pretty good job. I think he's just not the player he was. It's a horrible contract, and that's more on Bill O'Brien.
It's a two-year commitment. Now, next year is $15 million cap hit no matter what.
I will tell you that I think Bernardrick McKinney is a one-trick pony. I do agree with him on
that. He's a run stuffer, but he does.
He can't go side to side.
But he does do a lot of the dirty work.
He does dirty work. He can't go side to side, but he was a hell of a lot better when DJ Reader was in front of him, if you want to talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a guy that can get some penetration. He wasn't necessarily a two-gap guy all the time, but he could occupy two gaps occasionally. He could penetrate. He could create havoc, make a blocker, at least an extra blocker, at least pay attention to him, and that freed up McKinney. So I on your point with Whitney Merciless, I think he's just not the player he was. I think you're right on Bernardrick McKinney, in large part because he doesn't have the guy in front of him that he needs. And then you're not going to hear me say a bad word about Zach Cunningham. I think he's the best player on that defense. And yes, I know J.J. Watt is on that defense. I'm talking about like the most consistent, best player.
Top five in tackles already.
Yeah.
And he hobbled up a little bit.
Yeah, JJ's the most spectacular player on that defense and the one that people game plan for the most. But just in terms of, check the box, don't worry about this position, I think it's Zach Cunningham.
All right, I'm going to say this. And I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm just asking. Mm-hmm. I'm asking. Is it possible Justin Reed isn't as good as we thought he was?
I think he had a bad game. Let's reserve judgment on that. Keep in mind, he's being asked to do a lot because he's trying to make up for a lot of other people's gaffes.
Eric Murray, that. That's why I think Earl could actually help Justin Reed. Justin Reed, like at this point, it's like Justin Reed's the best cover safety. He's the best come in the box safety. Like you almost got to ask him to do a lot of stuff. So I think that's fair.
I'm going
to
reserve judgment on that. He's having to do a hell of a lot.
That's fair. But I think to the caller's point, the cost doesn't match the production. You could say that about the receivers. They have the top five highest paid receivers combined. They have the second most invested in running backs. The offensive line, they've invested a hell of a lot in. Tight ends, they've used multiple third round picks on, and they gave Darren Fells a new contract. You're not getting a lot from them. I mean, the talent's just not as good as it was 2 years ago, man.
Yeah.
Like it's not, and that's really like that's. I don't know if that makes it easier or it makes it more difficult because sometimes when you don't have the talent, you're just like, whatever. But you're functioning in win-now mode while making the talent worse.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Thank you. I mean, yes, that's been my
point. You're trading draft picks like they're going out of style, and you're functioning like a win-now GM. And the talent is way worse than it's been.
That's why we are where we are with what they're doing.
Think
with
about
Earl
it.
Thomas. They're desperate. They know they've screwed this up. They'll never admit it, but they know they're overmatched, especially in the secondary and especially at running back.
Dude.
I still believe if Bill O'Brien could just, if he swallows his ego a little bit, he knows he needs to bench David Johnson. If Duke Johnson is healthy, Duke Johnson needs to play.
Look.
I wouldn't put Procise out there.
Why did Carlos Hyde run for 1,000 yards last year? Right. Like, help me. Like, yeah. it's not like this is like some new system. I mean, we saw a guy that was going to get cut by the Chiefs come in here and run for 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
So, what schematically? Like, and then Bill O'Brien's talking like schematically, we got to get the blocking right. I mean, I get there's a lot that goes into it, and I get that there's a lot of stuff that I just don't know because I'm not in pro football, Bill. I get it. But damn.
Yeah.
You can't block?
It's problematic, and Max Sharping all of a sudden is looking like a guy. Remember we thought, I think you said it, maybe Tytus Howard is going to have a sophomore slump.
I said Tytus Howard, yeah, I could see him having
a
sophomore
slump. Well, you were close. Well, and Tytus Howard isn't exactly killing it. The whole right side of the line is struggling. But Sharping, speaking of someone who's in danger of getting benched, it could be this week too with Sharping.
All right. So, three games in last year, Carlos Hyde, his third game, 104 yards rushing. You saw David Johnson in his third game. How'd that look? And oh, by the way, it was against the Tennessee Titans team that was a very stout run defense.
Yeah.
Actually, Carlos Hyde's third game, he did not have a good game, but he had 200 total yards. That was third to last. He had 200 plus total yards through three games. David Johnson now.
No.
Close.
He has, we can add him up. He had 77, right?
Yeah.
Most of that in the first quarter and a half. And then he had 34. And then he had 23. So there you go. It's pretty bad. When you're going into the fourth game of the season and you can just, oh, yeah, you can add that up.
No, but what's bad about it, man, is it was a joke when they traded for him.
Yes.
Like, it was.
We said it. We were on the air when this happened. And we remember, we've played the audio. We're like, wait, what? That can't be right.
Like, it'd be one thing if they had said, all right, we're going to take David Johnson and, oh, by the way,
we thought they were eating up the contract.
Yeah, the Cardinals are going to pay the contract, so yeah, you're paying him what you would have paid Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
He's worse than I thought he was.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's David Johnson from the Houston Texans, here with my good friend Toro.
You and Toro need to sit on the sidelines together and shoot T-shirt cannons, shoot T-shirts in the stands with T-shirts. Like, it didn't make sense then. It makes even less sense now. And the problem is, it might not even be 100% his fault,
mm-hmm,
but this scheme, and this was part of it, if you're going to have guys like David Johnson and Duke Johnson, you have to have some smart mofos calling the offense in a great offensive scheme that's going to get these guys the ball,
yeah,
coming out of the backfield, that's going to do creative things to get them to rock. Bill O'Brien straight up said, Charles Davis quoted it the other day in the game. Yeah, I was talking to Bill O'Brien about David Johnson, and he told me he needs more touches, but they need to be traditional. Nothing too cute. Nothing too cute.
Nothing too cute.
Well, I got news for you. There were some traditional touches the other day, and not a damn thing happened.
You know, David
Johnson. Nothing too cute. What do you mean?
What's the one gripe I've had about David Johnson from the moment that they got him? He can't run where?
Between the tackles.
Guess what running back has run between the tackles more than any other in the NFL? What are they doing? David Johnson. I just saw that about an hour ago on Twitter. They had some pro football outsiders or football outsiders or some pro football. David Johnson has run like between the tackles more than any running back in the league.
You should honestly, like, you know how sometimes, like, when a doctor has, like, a bad surgery, he loses his license?
Yes.
Or when, like, or when
you lose your coaching license?
For Deshaun Watson, for David Johnson to do what you just said, mm-hmm, and for Deshaun Watson to have one rushing attempt in a game,
yeah,
one,
yep,
you should lose your coaching license for at least 3 months.
Coaches should be licensed.
You should lose your coaching license as an offensive guy for 3 months when Deshaun Watson only runs the rock
3 months suspension. You're out. Be like the COVID. Sorry, you can't come back for 3 months.
Billy and Timmy, go away.
Protocols.
Hey. Turn your key in. Turn your fob in.
The running back protocols.
See you in 3 months.
Yeah.
Good Lord. It's all good, though. Let's go watch some baseball.
Yeah, man.
How do you feel about that?
I'm good. Baseball. I'm good.
Zach Greinke playing with danger in the first.
Yeah, he threw a lot of pitches.
Yeah, he did.
Good storytelling skills. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Zach. Thanks to John McClain for hopping on. Thanks to the OG, John Lopez. For J-Lo, for Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. Let's get over the hump tomorrow. Stanford Route going to join us. I think he likes the idea of Earl Thomas. We'll hear from him. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Keep it locked, though. Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.